At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Can we talk something else? Can we talk about something else?
One of the scariest forms a human being can take is that of being stretched to its limit, ready to snap, as they say. Walking around wishing someone would, looking for any reason at all to pop their top and let it out, blow off the steam, snap someone's stupid, smarmy little face shut with a few sharp words or a single movement, a single look even. It feels good. As a human being, a Homo sapien, to access that ancient DNA, it's deeply satisfying to suddenly cut the shit and shove it into a deserving yap. People are too comfortable these days being arrogant, being obnoxious, being rude, pretentious, patronizing, superior. And it feels good to just slap someone upside their head on occasion, to watch as it dawns on them that the facade they constructed was always just that. A facade, and that at any moment someone could have just stepped through it and shoved two fingers up their nose to drag them around the room a little with. It's satisfying to see it in their eyes, their own ancient DNA lighting up. Uh-oh, am I in actual danger here? And then the admonishments start flying like impotent, poorly constructed paper planes, thudding to the ground, nosediving as the abuse ramps up. You can't speak to me like that. You can't put your hands on me. You can't do this. Well, looks like I'm doing it, mouthpiece. Looks like I can. Shouldn't is the word I believe you're looking for. It's scary when someone snaps. Entertaining as well, no doubt about that, but scary. Because you never know if they'll stop, if they'll come back to their senses, regain elasticity, so to speak. It's that slow boil that's the worst, though. Snapping is one thing, but boiling over? Oh god, that's not good. Someone who snaps more often than not just loses it momentarily and are just quick to snap back. They'll apologize even for the outburst, the leak, the breach of their composure. But a person who boils, a boiler is brooding where a snapper is just holding on. A boiler is planning. A boiler knows exactly what to do when that exact thing happens again. That got them boiling in the first place. A boiler will intentionally place themselves on the heat. They'll shuffle their leather ass up close, rub their clammy hands together, and just let it roll. Let it come. Let it come foaming over the top, splashing over the sides, hissing ferociously once it gets a taste of the element that brought it forth, spitting and lapping and rejoicing in its loose vexation. A boiler doesn't try to hold back. A boiler comes to full form with bad intentions realized. They don't try to hold back, boilers. They try to erupt. And when they do, there isn't much that can be done to stop them. It's orgasmic for them. There's no sense in the action. It's just happening. And it will keep happening until it's not. Rolling in and out like thunder. Satisfied once it's over, a little embarrassed maybe. Sheepish. But never sorry. Welcome to Full Dark Topic. I'm your host, Jack Luna. The Exterminator. Working title. The boiler. Some people are experiencing life at full speed. These are our Wall Street types, our thieves, our addicts, our go-for-broke population, screaming at the racetrack until they're either fixing a tie outside a steakhouse or a noose inside an outskirt gas station restroom. They just won't take no for an answer. It's all for nothing for these people. Then you have those that are cruising along, making sure it's all taken care of, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, saving their money, preparing for the future. And these two types will never understand one another. Speedy people only slow for two things: inevitable death and to steal fuel from those of us just trying to cruise along. They believe we're not using it anyhow, that it's wasted on us. And maybe they're right, but they're still wrong to take it, to manipulate it away just to waste it themselves. Sometimes it feels like good, solid people exist just to care for bad, flimsy people when they inevitably fall apart and need help. Though some of us have had enough of that game. Some of us have worked our asses off to get where we are despite facing the same obstacles as others who are failing. And we're fed up, at a time for anyone, out there half-assing it. Some of us are so fed up that we assume everybody outside of ourselves is a piece of shit, that nobody's good enough, that everything's a hustle, everything's a game, that every person we run into that has a dour demeanor or a strained face is likely losing at life because they just aren't good enough at it, and they need to get good or stop playing. At the very least, they need to get the fuck out of the way and let somebody competent take their place. Because kids are dying from cancer at that hospital downtown. Teenagers working in rock quarries are starving in some parts of the world. And if they had half a chance to be you, they'd run with it. They'd take everything you have holding you down, cut it, toss it aside, and fly. And nobody knows better of what it takes to fly in this life than a well-traveled doctor. Born in Thailand to a Thai father and a Belgian mother in 1978, Melissa Kedanudi eventually made her way to the United States, where she attended Amherst College in the mid-90s to study neuroscience. While in school, Melissa was informally adopted into the family of one of her close friends, but always maintained a close relationship with her biological family in Thailand. Upon graduating from Amherst with her degree in neuroscience, Melissa began medical school at Washington University, a prestigious school in St. Louis, Missouri, in hopes of becoming a surgeon. However, while there, she became enamored with pediatrics, particularly in underdeveloped nations. Ultimately, she would transfer to Stanford Medical School, where the young doctor was awarded money to study and treat children with AIDS/HIV in the African country of Botswana. A quote from Dr. Kedanudi on her time in Africa, quote, "It was an incredible place. People were dying left and right from something for which a treatment exists," end quote. Upon graduating from Stanford in 2007, Melissa would land in Washington, D.C. for 1 year residency before transferring to a fellowship at the University of Pennsylvania's Children's Hospital, or CHOP, as it is commonly known. In her blog, she would write of this transition from third world heroics back to the comforts of first world practitioning, quote, "As sexy as it was to be a life-saving surgeon, I felt much better suited to pediatrics," end quote. Melissa lived in a typical Philly row home with her dog, a black lab mix she named Pooch, mixed with Pitbull, from what I've read, in an area just a few minutes' walk from the hospital where she worked. Neighbors described her as private, busy, though friendly, clearly bright, and notably healthy. Melissa participated in marathons wherever she could, and was often seen jogging when she wasn't walking Pooch in her downtime. As anyone who's lived in a large metropolitan area can tell you, pests, rodents, bugs, people, are ever present and can be a real problem if you don't do something about them quickly. Allow the rats or roaches free rein in your walls and they'll soon be tickling cans in the cupboards. Give the vagrant on your porch a blanket and a sandwich and they'll soon be tickling cans in your cupboards. Often, we make the mistake of being too hospitable, too laid back about issues that will fester if unchecked. Rarely, if ever, do we find the solution to our pest problems through being reasonable. Extermination is the only certainty. And yes, you are hearing me correct. I believe we need to exterminate the homeless. Hold on. Simmer down. Crank back the heat. You wait for it. You wait for it. JK. I love the homeless. Some of them. Dr. Ketanuti had a problem in her house with rodents and called for an exterminator in early January of 2013. The exterminator, Jason Smith, a fit man in his mid-30s with intense eyes, white knuckles, and a vein almost constantly pulsing in his forehead, showed up for consultation and, according to him, made it quick because he didn't like the way the young doctor of his same age snapped at him when he couldn't answer her questions quick enough or to her satisfaction. Jason managed to stay professional, and an appointment was made, but when he showed up for that first appointment, the doctor wasn't home. He called her, and she informed Jason that she'd have to reschedule, which pissed him off royally, though he kept it together enough to schedule a new date and time, the morning of January 21st, 2013. Dr. Ketanuti likely didn't give the interactions a second thought, continuing with her demanding work that often had her called away from home unexpectedly. Nothing she felt her bone-headed exterminator needed to know about, mind you, but if she had have shared it, maybe she would have cooled things off a little. The evening before the extermination appointment, Dr. Ketanuti maybe enjoyed a glass of wine, undisturbed by the occasional scritching, scratching sound in the walls, oblivious to the fact that her no-nonsense interaction with the intense man from the pest control outfit had resulted in her essence being pinched heavily into a cauldron to stew in the days leading up to the appointment, an appointment made with her exterminator, Jason Smith. At home, in the house that he shared with his girlfriend and her parents, their two children, something was clearly bothering Jason. But something was always bothering Jason. So, nothing seemed off to friends and family leading up to the fateful late January morning of 2013. Surveillance footage from businesses around Ketanuti's residence showed the contracted exterminator getting out of his Ford F-150 pickup truck from about a block away and walking to Ketanuti's home. 45 minutes later, the exterminator can be seen leaving the doctor's home and heading back to his truck, driving around the block twice, and then heading towards the freeway to make his next appointment about an hour and a half away in New Jersey. The only thing standing out here is that repeated trip around the block, but even that is explainable as city streets with their one-way signs, heavy foot traffic, and aggressive drivers can be complicated to navigate. Nothing on the footage would indicate the horrors that took place within those 45 minutes, that Jason Smith cannot be seen. If we fast forward the surveillance footage another 15 minutes from the time Smith left Ketanuti's home, we can see her dog walker approach and enter the now House of Horrors. Expecting to find Pooch eagerly waiting for a walk, the dog walker instead found him cowering and the smell of burning paper, clothes, and flesh permeating the air. Venturing a bit further into the house to find the source of the smell, the dog walker came upon Dr. Ketanuti's smoldering corpse in her basement, where Jason Smith was supposed to be eradicating vermin, not the young woman who dedicated herself to saving the lives of children. Shocked and sickened, he led the dog immediately outside the house and called 911 to subdue the fire and hopefully solve the murder. Firefighters arrived quickly and extinguished Ketanuti's body, her face burned beyond recognition. The firefighters remarked that the scene could have been even worse given the amount of paint and remodeling materials in the basement. Detectives, arriving not much later, found no signs of theft, forced entry, or sexual assault. At the time, motive and perpetrator were anyone's guess. So, what had happened in the 45 minutes behind closed doors and brick walls that modern technology couldn't see? What caused a fairly typical and typically awkward encounter to end in the death and burning of a 35-year-old pediatrician? All we have to go by is Jason Smith's account, which, to say the least, is eerie in its simplicity. He told investigators that he, quote, just snapped, after Ketanuti criticized his work and, in his words, belittled him. Apparently, the two began to argue regarding said criticisms and, again in Smith's words, that's when things went horribly wrong. He says he snapped, but what he meant was that he boiled over. The dog had been in his way, so he asked for it to be put outside. The doctor had been attempting to micromanage him, so he asked her to shut the fuck up. She continued needling him, empowered by his clear agitation. She was right, he was wrong. Any idiot could see what the issue was. Why couldn't he, being that this was supposed to be his area of expertise? Smith struck the petite woman to the ground and began strangling her with a belt or a rope that was in the basement as part of the remodeling she was working on. She begged for her life, but Smith didn't stop. He wrapped and tugged and squeezed until Kenanudi was no longer breathing. But again, he didn't stop. He hogtied her, hands and feet bound behind her back. Then, in an attempt to hide evidence of his presence, lit a paper towel on fire using her stove and threw it into a box near her head, a box that contained packing peanuts that he assumed would spread the fire rapidly. But let's hear it from Jason himself. I went to her house to do an exterminating job for mice. Her dog kept bothering me, so I told her to put the dog outside. She didn't seem happy about that, so I did my job in the upstairs where the kitchen area is. I went downstairs to the basement afterwards. I saw that the basement needed a lot of work. There were a lot of holes down there. I told her to come downstairs so I could show her. She didn't like what I had to say about her basement, that all these things had to be fixed. She didn't like how I was doing my job. She wanted me to foam the entire basement, and that didn't make any sense. She said, "That's what I'm paying you for." I told her that I didn't have enough material to foam the whole basement and that I wasn't going to do it. She wouldn't move out of the way. She said that I shouldn't be an exterminator, that I didn't know what I was doing. So I grabbed her and moved her out of the way. I grabbed her by the neck and started choking her. I realized there was blood on the ground. I let go of her. I saw the ropes that were on the shelf. I tied her up. Then I set her on fire. I grabbed my shit and ran out of there. There are so many oddities about this case and the things that we can't see. What did Dr. Kenanudi actually say? Her friends and relatives have repeatedly said that they can't imagine her belittling someone, let alone to the point of murder. In his description of things, Smith seemed to insinuate that she took the air of superiority as a doctor over him and rubbed in his face his comparatively menial line of work. He said he was bothered by her dog who kept getting in the way while he was working, and that he was aggravated that she canceled a prior appointment when he'd already arrived at her house. Of course, some of this is difficult to confirm, given it's Smith's recounting and various news outlets only provided certain details. Speculators have theorized that maybe Smith tried to come on to Kenanudi and her rejection of his advances caused him to snap. Perhaps this is the case. It has the feel of a crime of passion, given the extremes of the situation. He is also quoted telling investigators that Kenanudi said, quote, "Please stop. Please stop. I'm sorry. I'll do whatever you want," end quote, while he was choking her. What exactly did she think he wanted? How was someone able to speak while being choked to death? Was she being choked to death by the rope initially? Did he beat her first? Did he just grab her by the throat and do it with his hands? Why bind her after she died? Why demean her body in such a way? After all, there were no signs of sexual aggression, and Smith did exclaim, quote, "She was alive when I left her," when police eventually found him. When asked why he tied her up, he remarked, quote, "I don't know why I tied her up, I just did it." Smith told investigators that he was trying to hide evidence when he set her ablaze. Quote, "I was just trying to get rid of the evidence that was there, I don't know. Footprints, handprints. I just freaked the fuck out, I don't know," end quote. One could believe that this just all happened, you know, out of nowhere, boom, exploded, snapped, as he said. Except he was wearing gloves the whole time and had been throughout the whole house, and he only lit the basement on fire, her body on fire. It's reasonable to think that he assumed the fire would spread, especially considering that he moved a bunch of boxes around the body. Papers. Things that would help with the fire. I guess in the end, this is just another example of Jason Smith's shoddy work. Either way, Smith's version of events is already suspect. He didn't just run out of there, as he initially told police. Pooch was outside, where Kenanudi had put him after he wouldn't leave Smith alone, but the man let the dog back inside. Pooch stayed in the basement next to Kenanudi, even though supposedly Smith tried to get him to come back upstairs after he killed the woman. Why would he want the dog upstairs? Why did he care at that point? Why let it in at all? Maybe so it didn't start barking and alert neighbors? That's probably why.
No, he wanted it to burn alive.
Smith also stacked books and cardboard boxes around Kenanudi's body before leaving, as I said, to help accelerate the blaze. There's a lot of thought going on here for a guy who just snapped and took off. Outside his confession of the actual murder itself, the exterminator is completely unreliable. as the doctor had clearly already surmised, before her death, before getting murdered by him.
And I sit back in my seat here and just relax, you know, relax, telling these stories. These stories that could happen to any of us, you know, that could become our story. If we hire the wrong person, behave the wrong way with certain individuals. It's why it's very important to treat everybody like they're special, not because they necessarily are, but because you are. And it's tough to do. It's hard to be nice to somebody who's nasty. But you must do it until they put hands on you. And in that case, I guess you gotta have a gun. Yeah, I guess you gotta have a gun on your hip at all times. I don't know what the solution is. In this situation, what do you do? I mean, seriously, I'd recommend learning jiu-jitsu, the jiu-jitsu. As a woman, as a man, as anybody, to be able to at least choke him out or have a chance of choking them out. As a woman, and with this man in your house, maybe you don't hire a man into your house while you're alone with them, no matter what. Because clearly he got mixed signals. And mixed signals from a woman to a man who's in a relationship he doesn't want to be in or doesn't have a relationship can be as simple as this. Well, thank you for your time. I hope to see you soon.
Initially, the incongruities and oddness of his account made even his confession feel difficult to believe. But we know it's true because of the surveillance footage, because we can see him approach her house where he was let in by a very alive Dr. Ketanuni. We can see him head back to his truck, and we know the dog walkers showed up not much after he left. We know that Ketanuni called his cell phone to confirm the appointment and that he even showed up a bit early, still angry, no doubt, that she canceled on him a few days prior. Between the phone records and the security footage from around the neighborhood, police indeed had enough evidence to apprehend Jason Smith. A few days after the murder, a fugitive strike force showed up at his girlfriend's parents' house, where they were raising two children together, to arrest him and wound up, oddly enough, shooting their dog in the process. This is when the exterminator blurted out, quote, "She was alive when I left her," which perfectly caps off this clumsy and completely unnecessary murder case. She was alive when you left her? You mean when you left her hog-tied, strangled, and on fire in the basement? What the fuck, Jay? Also, what's with you complaining about other people's dogs when you have one rowdy enough to get shot by the police? A cousin of Smith's, who declined to be named, told reporters that while Smith was not a monster, he had anger issues and substance abuse problems. Who doesn't? A friend from childhood told ABC News that Smith was a, quote, problem child who had behavior and anger management problems, and not surprisingly, liked to set things on fire. This case is not mystifying as a whodunit, but rather a why done it, said FBI agent Brad Garrett, which is fucking awesome. Thanks, Brad. Quote, people like Mr. Smith basically walk around with a huge chip on their shoulder, and they feel so inadequate and so insecure that any perceived belittlement of them will set them off. End quote. It is odd, though, that Smith, given descriptions of his past by a friend and relative, didn't have a huge or small rap sheet. In fact, a DUI from the 2000s was the only strike in his record. Agent Garrett describes Smith as a powder keg, just waiting to explode. I like to think of a powder keg as something that hasn't met its match yet, if you know what I'm saying. Yet, we see no evidence until that fateful January day of any major or even minor explosions in Smith's life. In May of 2015, a jury of his peers convicted Smith on charges of first-degree murder, abusing a corpse, arson, possessing an instrument of crime, and risking a catastrophe, since the home was part of a row of homes that easily could have been destroyed had the dog walker not arrived. Jason Smith received a sentence of life in prison. Over the years, Smith has tried to appeal his conviction, stating that officers coerced him into a confession using physical force. To me, I've said this on past episodes, but whenever someone tries to appeal their conviction and tries to excuse themselves from it, it just makes them feel guiltier in my eyes. You killed her. You set her on fire. Just go to sleep somewhere now. As recently as 2019, almost 6 years to the day after Melissa Ketanuni's murder, Smith attempted to use Pennsylvania's Post-Conviction Relief Act to challenge his conviction. However, that and his other attempts have gone nowhere. These efforts probably were not helped by the fact that there are recordings of Smith's conversations with his girlfriend from prison in which he jokes about being mentally impaired so that the jury would have to question the validity of his confession. That's our Jason. What a nut. Erased a bright, healthy, decorated young pediatrician, strangled her to death by accident, he says, then set a fire to cover it up. Set her on fire to cover it up. But really, let's be honest here. He tied her up. Why did he tie someone up? To keep their dead body still? No, he likely tied her up while she was alive still and gave her a piece of his mind before strangling her and lighting her on fire. There were no signs of sexual abuse, from what remained at least. The doctor's upper half was charred beyond recognition. And she'd beg for her life. If the man had snapped like he said, surely he'd have begun to cool off by the time the begging started. Slapping someone upside the head, you snapped. Slapping someone upside the head, tying them to a chair, strangling them along with God knows what else before setting them on fire, is a little more than snapping. The exterminator, Jason Smith, an everyday working man with two kids, a girlfriend, and a bad attitude, went to work one morning and came home a killer. He didn't plan it. It just happened. He boiled over. This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack and hydration sponsor here at Dark Topic. And we're so excited to announce they've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on two special edition products, a salted caramel chip protein bar and a yuzu mango hydration mix drink. And I've been eating a whole hell of a lot of salted caramel chip protein bars. I don't get sick of them. That's one thing I'll say about those. It's a great treat. And decent for you, as well as the yuzu mango hydration mixed drink. I mean, I'll have one before bed. I'll have one when I wake up in the morning. Something about it. I mean, really great flavor and makes me feel like I came back to life after I chug one of those bad boys. IQ Bar's plant protein bars. They're mixed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. The salted caramel chip IQ bar that I've just mentioned there, it has 12 grams of protein and only 1 gram of sugar, and it has brain-boosting nutrients in it like lion's mane, adaptogen. The yuzu mango IQ mix is a refreshing zero-sugar hydration mix that marries bold flavor and essential electrolytes for your body and lion's mane plus magnesium for your brain. Just mix with water for Michelin star taste and next-level hydration. 10% of sales, I should mention, go to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, which supports the next generation of aspiring U.S. chefs. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ bars, brain, clearly I didn't drink my yuzu drink this morning, brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. This is the snack that you should start stocking in your cupboards when you go to reach for that. You know, ice cream at night, that chocolate bar during the day, I'd suggest reach for an IQ bar. They sent me the salted caramel chip IQ bar, the yuzu mango mix. And I mean, again, I've been going back and forth on those. And I just can't believe that something so delicious could be so good for me. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% of all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text DARK to 64,000. Text DARK to the number 64,000. That's DARK to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. Could this be your summer of discovery? Yeah, with Rosetta Stone it could be. Whether you're traveling abroad, planning a staycation, or just shaking up your routine, what better time to dive into a new language? With Rosetta Stone, you could turn downtime into meaningful progress. Rosetta Stone is a trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years. Their immersive, intuitive method helps you naturally absorb and retain your new language on desktop or mobile, whenever and wherever it fits your summer schedule. I've been using it to try to learn Japanese, as I mentioned already multiple times. I mean, Rosetta Stone and I are good friends at this point, and I'm surprised how quickly you can pick things up in bite-sized lessons. And what I mean by that is, like, if you're planning on going somewhere or interacting with someone who has another language underneath their belt or a country that has required
to speak that language wherever you are in certain situations, you can pick up bite-sized things to get you by. And I really like that about it. And it makes you feel like you are learning when you haven't developed the entire scope of it. At least you have a foot in the door with these bite-sized lessons and learning with their true accent feature. Rosetta Stone is the trusted language expert. It has 30 years of experience teaching people. I mean, there's millions of users and 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. And you can learn faster, retain longer. The big thing with Rosetta Stone for me is that you get this lifetime membership with them when you sign on. And you just never know when it's going to come in handy. Whatever trip comes up in the future, you can prepare yourself with this in your back pocket. So don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential right now. Dark Topic listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com, that's mood.com, has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep, and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code DARKTOPIC. I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. I think I might have taken one earlier. I got to hurry this up. They knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling no worse for wear. And their epic euphoria gummies, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your crappy mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for almost anything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal, and each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code DARKTOPIC. So head to mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code DARKTOPIC at checkout to save 20% off on your first order. And that'll do it. Another episode of Dark Topic. That's actually a very old episode redone there. That has been lost to history. History within the Dark Topic realm. A history that's worth having at this point and is only able to be happening because the people listen to it for free. And I've heard a lot of the feedback where it says that I'm doing too much when it comes to additional content. And I disagree. I think I'm not doing enough for the public content. So I'm going to work a little bit harder. And I started from humble roots in my life and in podcasting. When people started to support me to a point where I was able to make a living off of it, my inclination was to lean towards them. I love the people that love me enough to support me for what I'm doing here. The people who listen just generally like I do. I don't support many podcasts. I support about 8, actually, but I can afford it because people support me and I'm in the podcasting realm. I understand the people that can afford that and don't want much more. Just, you know, you want enough. My thing is that, you know, I try to put out 2 or 3 a month. I don't even know what I'm apologizing for here, actually. Maybe I shouldn't be apologizing. Maybe I'll just give you one more thing for the back catalog that not a lot of people have heard, and I'll see you soon with something new. And in the meantime, if you want more, I'm doing it. Shout out to Deadbug. Shout out to Kent Chungus, True Crime Kent. Shout out to my brother, Leroy Luna of Excuse Me, That's Illegal. And shout out to Aaron Hable for what we're doing on Marooned, another public podcast. You can get Marooned. Check it out. So I've been able to choose here what I'm going to sign off with on this public Dark Topic episode. And I think it's going to be How Bizarre with myself and Leroy Luna. This is something that those on Apple Plus and those on Patreon have already heard, so tap out. You know what's coming. But this episode is the most I've ever laughed in my whole life. I felt a little bit down there. Let's bring it up. Let's take it up a notch. Another thing I want to take head on here is that people would be like, oh, man, sounds like you're half cut on your episodes. Sounds like you're slurring. Sounds like you might be drinking. Sounds like I'm drinking. You got a problem with it? Go fuck yourself. Most of the time I'm not, but sometimes I am. And that's just part of it being a real fucking thing to listen to. You can't have a guy saying all the things that he's been through and saying all the, you know, the situations that he can relate to without him being fucked up on an episode from time to time. Here's another one. Listen to this. This is more fucked up than any slurge of words or off-the-cuff fucking thinking could be. This is the funniest podcast I've ever recorded and the most fun I've ever had in my life with my brother, Leroy Luna. Excuse me, that's illegal. You can catch this from time to time on the extras. Cha-ching. Hey, love all you. Fucking around. All jokes aside, I appreciate everyone who listens to Dark Topic in any form or fashion. And it's not a plug or a plea for anything, because I know people are going to take it that way. I hope you have fun. We did. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of How Bizarre, How Bizarre. I'm Jack Luna. This is Leroy Luna. How you doing there, Leroy?
Good, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bringing that energy. Yeah. Oh, I'm ready to get bizarre up in here, Jack. How about you, baby?
I'm fine.
Yeah. You know, I was looking up a couple items to... you know, to maybe purchase on Amazon, and I found a couple of, you know, kind of kinky ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
You ever had your testicles crushed?
You mean like a woman stepping on them and me getting off on it type of thing?
Oh, yeah. Like her putting a cigarette out on them and just like mashing her foot on them? Or she puts a cigarette out in your mouth? And then spits in your mouth and then, like, steps on your nuts with her high heel.
I had this one babe, man, where she had my nuts in between her teeth, and she looks up at me and she goes, if you flinch while I put this cigarette out in your asshole, I'm going to crush him like a couple of grapes.
I can't believe mom treats you like that. That's... No, I'm kidding.
She started smoking again, by the way. It's fucking brutal.
Might have to cut that out. Okay.
No, she never smoked.
All really? Right. That's too funny. Okay, well, see, the thing is, I found this Master Series Penis and Testicle Crusher.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy it for $50 on Amazon. And there's a few in stock, so, you know, if anyone's interested. $50, though, eh? That's, I don't know.
But that's what it's called? The testicle
it's called the
crusher?
Master, a penis and testicle crusher, which, does anyone like their, like, it doesn't really hurt to get your penis squished or anything.
No. No, it doesn't.
The balls, though, oh, geez.
They hurt.
Yeah, and I don't enjoy that type of pain, but I guess some people do.
Not me. Yeah. This is going to be tough, man.
So it's, you know, the material is acrylic. It's the Master brand, the Master Series.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hand washed.
And
it's It's kind of like these two plastic plates. It's very basic. Two plastic plates, and then you screw down the wing nuts to apply more pressure.
Fuck.
It's almost like, you know, you put an insect in the couple little plates and you look at it with a microscope or something. Like, it's very basic, but obviously these are like big plastic pieces, and then you just screw the nuts and it just applies more pressure. Like, you stick your balls in there.
You screw the nuts, that's for sure. Yeah, so... Yeah. This could be like a torture device used by a serial killer if they wanted to use it, or a torturer, right? They're making that for these people.
Let's get a good description here. A trigger warning here. If you don't like the word cock, for some reason they use it quite a bit.
Trigger warning. And you give the word without them having a chance.
I don't know why anyone would be triggered by the word cock, but... Okay.
I kind of am. So, I don't like cock. Anyway, go ahead.
This cock and ball board can apply pressure to both the cock and balls, or just the balls, by simply inserting your cock and balls through the back hole. Then screw down the wing nuts to apply more and more pressure. If you desire, you can have only one of your balls crushed. Or you can simply slip your cock through the handy cock hole on the other acrylic board.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it.
Both plates of the board are made of durable, clear acrylic. Both plates measure 5 inches in width and 7 inches in length.
Acrylic is important to me.
Very. The cock hole measures 1.75 inches in diameter, and the ball hole... measures 2.25 inches in diameter.
That's not enough. Yeah,
I don't even think I could use this, to be honest.
Me neither. I'm being honest, too. I mean, it's not a flex. seriously. So the the Luna boys were born with some massive balls. It's just a fact.
Yeah, big balls, yeah. I mean, the penis, yeah. The dick, yeah. Plenty of space, but...
Right, for the balls. I'm sitting on them right now. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, especially if I haven't rubbed one out in a few days. Mm-hmm. They get engorged, baby.
Right. And if I'm sticking my freaking cock and balls into a squisher, you know they're engorged.
If there's any children present,
too late.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe wait. Listen to this later on, okay?
Yeah.
This one got X-rated quick. Okay, so we'll get some, some reviews over here of this product. The first one comes from Margaret G. She gives it a 4-star. Says, great product for a limited size. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent product for its purpose, but the size is limited to someone who is about a medium in girth. So, you know, like we said, we probably wouldn't fit into these.
Yeah, yeah. But this is for the people.
Yeah, it's for, like, the average kind of guys, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
The short king, the short penis kings.
Hey, man, some of those short kings are packing a fucking Coke can.
Oh, yeah. It's like a kickstand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out John Joyce. He's a listener of both of ours. He gets on me about the short king references. He's like, it feels like you're talking directly to me. About me.
Shout out to John Joyce. Is he packing, though?
Oh, yeah. Joyce is packing.
Okay.
You can tell.
Yeah. I've seen him around, actually. Yeah. I've seen some pics.
Yeah.
He's we'll like, have to zoom in on the crotch and see if we really actually think he's packing.
He hops around like he's on a pogo stick just around town.
Right on. Okay. Next one is from Chris, and he says broken. He gives it 1-star. Seriously, open the box to see it broken. The hinge on the left side is broken and cracks around the base. Very frustrating. Okay, well, sometimes that happens, you know, in shipping or whatever.
But. That's the one we sent back.
Yeah. My nuts just cracked the cracked the seal trying to get them in there, you know?
Right. I used it first, and I was like, I don't know. I'm feeling a little like it's going to break. And then you did it, and boomf, send it back.
Oh, yeah. That was the straw that broke the camel's back there.
I think the problem was is that you stuck it in at the same time as me, and we tried to really push it to its limits.
Well, you know, you gotta really try it out, right?
Yeah, totally.
Number four, we got 4 stars from T, and they say, worth the effort. I really liked how everything fit inside as expected. One issue I found was the tension on the nuts. Felt like they kept loosening off. I don't know if they're talking about like the nuts and bolts or their actual nuts.
I think we're talking bolts here, though.
But yeah. They felt like they were loosening off. That's not a sensation I want to have. I made a conscious effort to keep a finger on them as it got tighter and tighter.
Jesus.
My finger would be in my butthole, so I don't know if I'd have like a finger. Because you're tightening the one thing, right?
And you're fingering yourself on the other.
I might need your assistance, Jack.
That's why I was there. Yeah. Twisting the bolts while you fisted yourself. And Leroy likes to plug his nose while he does it for some reason. It's weird.
Well, it's the cheesy ball smell that I get, though, right?
Yeah, the more you squeeze them, the cheesier they stink.
Squeezing the cheese.
All right. Little mozzarella. Okay.
Mine's more like a Parmesan.
Yeah, that would make more sense. Reggiano. Like
chunky. Fresh Parmesan, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah, blue cheese here, but we'll continue.
Okay, we got 2 stars from another Amazon customer. Not a one-size-fits-all device. Balls need to be really big and stretchy to fit through the opening. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird. We all come in different shapes and sizes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some say it's too big, the opening. Some say it's too small.
Mm. Well, when you're really hot, like your balls do, like droop lower. So I could see you be able to pop one nut in and then pop the other one in behind it. And then we get to squeezing.
Yeah. Especially as you get older too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you're cold and they're all sacked up and they're in a nice tight little sack there, that'd be tough to get in, I think.
Hmm.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. This one comes from your mom, it says. Not our mom, I guess.
Okay.
She says, worth $10 tops. It arrived cracked. Still usable. But why wouldn't you just return it?
Set it back, yeah.
Still usable, but also dangerous. It's like, okay, this is on you now because it's broken. Like, it's like, oh, this is a dangerous product. It was all cracked, but I still had to use it, right?
Yeah, I was ready.
Used it a few times, and now the base where the screws are seated is cracked as well.
Well.
I can get here's a real flex. Here's a real brag, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy talking, by the way. It's not a woman. I can get soft easily. So I had no issue. So I had no issues using it with my otherwise large member. You know, it's pretty large, but you know, it's usually
soft.
I get soft pretty easy.
Yeah. Right. Very strange flex.
Yeah.
I have a massive flaccid penis almost at all times, so it shouldn't have been a problem.
He says, but for anyone with high testosterone and average or above size, good luck getting it in without making modifications. I'm going to research if I can repair the acrylic. If not, I'll probably get a plastic cutting board and make my own.
Yeah.
Not worth $50 at all. Something like this would be easy to make. Do it yourself. And most likely safer. I'm not really like a home project guy though. But
fuck off. I'm gonna research to see if I can fix this broken product that you sent me in the first place.
Yeah, why don't you just return it? I'm sure they'll happily give you another one.
They'll be like, there's too much pubic hair on this thing. Clearly you used it.
Cheese smeared all over the
Sir, your massive flaccid dick is still in the product.
Judging by other reviews, it tends to crack in the same spots for everyone. Not to mention the hinge is way too gapped for someone with smaller nards. It's if it were made with stronger plastic or something with a bit more flex and a tighter hinge gap.
Jesus.
We got Bob Vila over here. It probably
Tim
wouldn't
the Tool
crack.
Man Taylor.
There should also be varying ring sizes to choose from. I would have rated 5 stars if it weren't for arriving damaged and then being even more damaged within 3 uses. It's like, dude, it's already cracked. Fuck? Like, what do you expect? It could also use some washers because the bolts in the spinny parts are very small and tend to pop out of their holders.
This guy's
and
fucked.
Right through the top layer if you go too tight. Save yourself a headache and make one yourself or look for one made of steel or something less brittle.
Great okay, review.
Buddy. Yeah, very useful review.
Fuck. Holy right, shit,
let's,
man.
Let's get a 5-star here from My Stuff. Great toy and a delicious sandwich recipe for both of you.
What?
Okay, wonderful little toy. It's simple enough, and I agree that the plastic can break, but really just go slowly and turn one side at a time. It's a lot of fun seeing the little guy squished, and it certainly gets your attention. You can see him raising an eyebrow, like, say what?
That thing's squished. Is that my urethra?
Yeah. Ooh, what the fuck? Testes, baby.
Man, Leroy, sorry to interrupt, but I mean, this thing is breaking far too often in these reviews. This is the
well,
last thing it should do.
Really want to like get a good squish going, though, right?
Yeah, my member was paper thin by the time I was done with it.
It's like, what? Why don't you just get someone to step on your nuts then, like... Right. Jeez, man.
I don't know. Or just put a brick on it or something. What are you doing? You can squish yourself with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Especially this is a very basic design. It's just like a couple of these plastic pieces that you just like squish together.
Hey, man, why don't you just stick your dick and your balls into like the Bible and just start pushing down on it, you know?
Well, that would be unholy, I think.
Oh, right, yeah.
God always comes first.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay, so it certainly gets your attention. It's reasonably large, so you can put all of the jewels in one go for a little extra fun.
Hmm.
Does he have more than 2? Because he's making it sound like a lot. But
yeah.
Anyway.
I think it's his balls and his dick he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Man.
The family jewels, yeah. If you like things a little more exotic, here's an idea that she likes to do. I guess he's talking about his girlfriend here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cut out some small rectangles of plastic carpet protector top. Yeah, you know that plastic carpet protector?
Top and
bottom of the acrylic side and pop the little guys in the sandwich. You know, like... I guess, like, in between the things. So what, you got these little plastic spikes, like, going on your nuts, I think?
Oof.
Slowly does it. Makes for a fun sensation with the small plastic spikes providing an extra level. Plus, no need to tighten. Very tightly. So there's much less strain on the device. So, yeah,
is this this guy's review? This still this guy's review?
No, are this is a different guy, I think.
Okay.
He's talking about a sandwich recipe for both of you.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
The other... Yeah.
I was just writing this all down. I had to make sure I was giving proper credit. Yeah.
Different guy's experience, I think. So, yeah, you don't have to tighten it as much when you put the little plastic spikes in there. Play safe and have fun. And then it said something like this works wonderfully. I didn't click on it, but he might have had a picture of his nards there getting... Spike.
Right.
Oh, it's just carpet protector, so whatever.
Wow.
All right, and we just got one last review here from Megatron. It puts the pressure right where you want it. For the price, it's a great ball crusher. No sharp edges, well made with solid material, easy to get on with a bit of lube. It really puts the pressure right where you or in our case, my dom, wants it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Each turn, you really feel the progress as the plate is pressing down. After a few twists more, and it really starts to bring the sting of blue balls as it flattens your boys into pancakes. And that's it for Megatron, so...
No, Jesus, man.
That is terrifying.
Holy shit. We should start adding our own reviews, right? In this one, call yourself one twist over the line. Somebody help! Oh my god. The bolt broke off.
Send a picture of my, like, deranged, deformed nuts.
Yeah. Will it squish these bad boys back into form? I was born this way. Let me know, fellas.
I was born this way. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm glad have a dom. I don't know. I'm pretty vanilla, I guess you could say.
Imagine having a dom. You have appointments and you show up and...
There's some guys who like to just, like, they'll give the woman their, like, bank information and they just rob them, basically. And they're, like, get off on being...
Seeing their money drain away.
Seeing the money drain from their account. And they're just like, I'm going to get laid by my man. He's so much manlier than you'll ever be. I wouldn't even touch your little Peter. I wouldn't even give it a flick.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, like, drain his bank account.
Right.
I'll drain your bank account, but I won't drain your balls, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
And they're just like,
Yo, put me in the box, mistress. And then she shoves him in a fucking box. How much did you spend? How much did you spend?
So terrible. But yeah, some people are like that. And we're not kink shame. I mean, we kind of are, I guess, but.
Oh, we are.
Hey. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, do what you got to do.
But the crushing draining balls. Of the bank account, that's insane to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to cuckolding, I think the only thing that, I would never do any of this. Let's make that clear. But the only thing that I can kind of see for some guys is if they have a small dick and they can't please their woman. And they get another guy who can, and they sit there and they watch it, and they whack away on their little dink, and see that happening. Like when it comes to being cuckolded or dominated or whatever it is.
Yeah, I saw that like on a porno once, and when the guy was done, he pulled out right and finished his business like on her feet, and then the guy was like sucking it off her toes.
The husband was sucking the other guy's jizz off of her toes?
Yeah.
Cool,
I don't remember
man.
What happened after that because I finished and I just turned it off.
No, but that's what I'm talking about. That's the only thing that gets me off. when the little fucking dweeby, white, balding husband gets in there and sucks the guy's flaccid dick to clean it off.
Oh, my God.
That's where I come in.
I apologize,
that's where I get
everyone.
Off.
This is getting out of hand. But hey, before we do that, I have another product here.
Oh, good.
And this is the lockable dildo mouth gag, S&M mouth restraint with lock bondage. I mean, basically, it's a belt with a lock on it, and this ball gag, it's like a... it's got a 2-inch dildo in there. So that's what you're like, that's in your mouth, right?
Oh man, I'm crying, Leroy. That's fucking so funny, man. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So the 2-inch dildo is in your mouth, and then it's almost like a belt that you attach around your head. And while you're gagging on that, I don't even know what else you do, but. And this is only $13.
Fight for your life.
It's $13.58. And, there's no point in saying this. There's only one in stock, but by the time this goes out, Jack will already.
It'll be gone.
Purchased it.
It'll be gone.
It'll already be tickling the the tonsils. Back of his throat.
Yeah.
Although it's 2 inches. It'll be hitting that little punching bag in the back of your throat there.
Holy shit. So, man, you're damn right it will be.
Yep.
Is there any reviews on that?
Yeah, there is. But we'll get some more details about it. It's black. It's rubber. Uh-huh. The brand name is Sex Baby. Mm. It's a classic waterproof design. You hand wash it. So here's a little bit more. Safe material, non-toxic, will not hurt your throat.
All right.
So that's a bonus.
It is.
Adjustable head straps provide you a more customized fit. You can wear this dildo gag more comfortably and maximize your sexual experience. So the belt buckle removable base is easy to clean. It's excellent for cosplay or role play. Suitable for adult couples. Yeah, lovers, both men and women, to enjoy games. It's got discreet packaging, which I really enjoy. No one will know what is inside.
Hmm.
Okay, so we're going to get to some reviews. The first one coming from Patrick. And he was pretty satisfied. He gives a 5-star. Says, surprisingly decent. I wasn't expecting much for the comparatively low cost, but this actually fits well. It's reasonably comfortable for up to 2 hours. And then he put thus far in brackets. So this guy was wearing this like dildo ball gag with the belt on his head for 2 hours. And it looks pretty good when it's in place.
Yeah, it does. Leroy, I'm sorry I was so quiet there for a minute. I actually have a confession to make. I was laughing so hard because I had bought it already and I strapped it on. I couldn't help it. I had to put it on. But man, this thing scares you, man. Like you fucking, it's terrifying. Well, you can't get the fucking straps undone sometimes at the back once you've already came, you know?
Oh yeah, two trips to the doctor's office already, eh?
Yeah, holy moly, man. I got my fucking balls strapped into a vice, and I got this thing I can't get off my head. It's choking me to death. It was a close one.
Oh man. Okay. My partner also seems to enjoy it thus far. For anyone just starting out, the short version of this gag is well worth the cost for experimenting. This is also an effective toy for those with years of experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, right on.
I agree. I mean, you need some experience, man. It is a ballsy thing to do, to stuff a little black dildo in your mouth and strap it to your fucking face, man. Like,
you want to start with the 2-inch, and then you can work your way up.
Definitely. Yeah. They have this one where there's these two little, you know when they have those clit pleasers on the dildo, they call them? Those little rubber dongles that can satisfy the clitoris. They have two of them on one of this product that they go right up your nose. So you're completely bereft of breath. Right?
Wow. That is.
I had to cut one off. It's too intense.
Yeah, at least you can breathe out of one nostril. I mean, that helps.
Holy.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right.
This one's from It's Me. It's not actually from me, but. Okay. So I guess there's two different sizes because they're saying they want to talk about the short one first.
Right.
It's a nice alternative gag. No complaints from my orally fixated wife. Yeah, this is definitely not me. who doesn't like the ball type gags, but sometimes just needs to be quiet. Seems relatively comfortable and secures fairly well. No cutting or biting pieces of leather. It went over so well, and my wife has no gag reflex, so I thought I'd try the larger one. She didn't even need to say anything for me to know that it wasn't for her. I think it's just too big to be worn for any period of time. You might be able to turn it around and wear dildo out as an alternative.
Okay.
And we'll get to one of those one day. There's like this weird, I forget what it's called, but it's like a dildo you wear on your forehead or on your chin or something.
Yeah, on your chin.
And then people just like, I guess a man or a woman can like just ride your face while you're just probably in pain.
Nice. I like how he said she didn't even have to say anything. What? Why? Because she was barfing all over the place?
Well, he did throw in that flex that she has no gag reflex. But
yeah, right, right.
I don't know.
What? She didn't have to say anything? Her eyes went wide with terror?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Okay, here comes the Darkest Angel. Unless you still wanted to talk about that one.
Nope.
No? Okay. All right. 5 stars. Good size for beginners. This is definitely one way to silence yourself or another. If you're not used to gags, but don't want the standard ball gag, this is a good starter, as it's not too long. Hey, you know, 2 inches can go a long way.
Yeah.
So I don't really like them, you know, kind of saying how 2 inches isn't very much. Right?
I agree,
it's all
man.
How you use it.
Totally. I'm sitting there with my big balls, my little dick whacking away while my girl gets railed by a real man. You don't got to tell me. You don't got to tell me.
Oh, my God.
Boy, oh boy, Leroy, what are we doing? Can we use this?
I don't know. Guess we'll find out. Okay, and the last one here, we got Christopher giving a 5-star review. If you're interested in this kind of thing, get it and give it a good shot. Okay. Wow. When we first got this and she used it, I can tell she loves it. Keeps her quiet. Plus, she likes the feel.
Yeah.
So these guys like to keep their partners quiet.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And yeah. I don't know. These are pretty funny, but I think we probably will need to take a break from some of these a little more risque sex toys.
Oh,
unless,
man.
You know, let us know in the comments if you're enjoying it, but if you're feeling it's too vulgar, we'll take a break from it, you know?
Leroy, I would suggest, and I never do this, but like a warning when you post it, a warning, highly sexually explicit content. I'm going to.
Okay. Yeah, because... yeah.
I'm worn out.
I should...
Do you have more?
No. Yeah, that's it. Like, would you ever use one of these? I mean, the ball crusher wasn't really that sexual,
no,
really.
I wouldn't. Well, I think
we were pretty vulgar, and it also said cock, like, quite a bit.
Yeah. Would I ever use, a fucking mini dildo gag to my face?
My ear, like, popped.
No, that's a hey no, Leroy, for me.
Okay. What about the Master Series penis and testicle crusher?
No, I wouldn't use it. All jokes aside.
That's a couple hey no's, huh?
That's total hey no, man. Hey no. I was lying the whole time. Everything I said, none of that happened, you know?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I would never use any of this stuff. The furthest I go, let me think, when it comes to sex toys. I don't use them. Do you use them, Leroy?
No, I don't, actually. Well, I mean, besides the blowjob machine that I got sent. Like, I wouldn't have bought that for $250. But I tried using it, and I guess you did have the suggestion that I should be aroused before I... use it, which,
right.
I mean, it didn't mention that, but I guess that's just common sense, probably, right?
You were just taking yourself in their flask. Vroom, vroom,
well, I thought it would do the trick.
Right. No.
Get me aroused, but apparently you got to get aroused first.
Holy.
And you also have to plug it in, which in the cord's only like 5 feet, so.
Yeah. You were standing there with your flaccid penis stuck into I don't know, what was it, like a rubber mouth, just standing there waiting for something to happen?
Yeah. I got the extension cord at least, because I like to wrap it around my neck while I'm doing it, but.
Yeah.
No.
I like to use a faulty electrical socket too. There's sparks flying. I could get completely.
So ridiculous though. But like, no, I don't really like use any sex toys or anything. I don't know. I'm really pretty basic, despite all this vulgarness that unfortunately you guys had to hear.
Right.
And might lose a few.
Maybe,
people,
yeah. Maybe. But. I guess, like, dressing up, which I've really never done, but if I was to get a little bit older, coming into the room, a little role play, What would you dress up like to get your lady, like, really riled up when you walked into that room? What do you think would work? Let's not get too personal, but...
Yeah, I know. It would kind of be... I try to think of something. She really likes Justin Timberlake, but I don't know if... I mean, I can't
Hey, it's retarded Justin Timberlake.
It's,
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, as a role-playing thing, like, what could she wear that... It's just sort of weird, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't bother doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess like a skimpy maid outfit would be kind of cool, sure. I guess. I don't know. It's pretty basic.
Very basic. Nurse
uniform? I don't know.
Yeah, you hate to see say schoolgirl because that's pedophilic almost. But, you know what? Maybe if my girl just dressed up like me, wore all my clothes, my underwear.
Yeah. Had like a little, drew on like a little goatee or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I rip her track pants off, my track pants off. And it's my boxers. She's cut them all up. And I'm like, what the fuck? Those are my Chicago Bulls silk boxers, yo. Those are my favorites. Yeah.
So you want her to just act exactly like you?
Yeah, that could be hot. And then I'll act like her.
Oh, okay.
Role reversal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get into Amazon position. You know what that is?
No.
So the guy's laying on his
back.
Might
as well talk about it.
The guy's
Since
usually
it's our
laying
last
on his
episode.
Yeah. So the guy's laying on his back of the bed. He gets erect and he pushes his dink forward and then she hops on and she rides the guy.
Wait.
All right, so I'm laying on the bed with my legs up in the air, and I push
my... Yeah, it helps if I'm picturing you naked. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah, me.
Okay, so you're laying on your back.
Yep.
And I got my legs... What do you mean? You like your butthole exposed, kind of? Like your legs
sure.
up in the air?
Totally, or... yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on the edge of the bed.
All right.
And I and I get erect, right? And I push my dink down, and I'm holding the base of it the whole time. This is fucked up. I've only seen this in porn. And then she comes in, and she starts to hump me. Like, that's like called Amazon position. So
wait,
she
what is she riding?
My penis.
Oh, but you pushed it down.
Yeah, so I'm on my back. I got my legs up, and I'm pushing my dink down like a hungry
she's
ogre.
She's standing.
Yeah, she's standing, and she kind of straddles on, and then she plows down, I think, is how that works.
Okay, so, yeah, I get what you're saying.
And I'd be wearing her clothes, and she'd be wearing mine. I don't fuck. Leroy, I don't know if we're going to make it here. What else you got? Anything? We can wrap up.
That's it. I don't know. Should we end it in a wholesome note?
We'll try.
Sure. I got nothing.
How your kids doing?
Yeah, they're doing great. Actually, I just had a gymnastics meet yesterday. So
good to get that limber.
Yeah, we. I don't want to go there with anything. But yeah, he got a silver medal. So.
Oh, good for him.
It's good for him. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, my boys will be playing baseball and getting ready for the season. So yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of bats Lots and balls. Of... And...
Stretch. All right, that's enough ball talk for today.